Play DJ Steve 93.2 FM.
Everybody clap on the beat.
Keep it locked.
Sounds like this. Sunday's 5 to 7 p.m. Try to keep you lonely.
Yes. Yes, and we're doing Sheffield Live on a Sunday. Sounds like this through till 7 o'clock. The first time in, well, 20 years of doing this show. Maybe it's a bit, I don't know. Could be a little bit more, it could be a little bit less. Can't believe I haven't had Ajaz on before. The Disorientalist. He's not taking it personally. He's a forgiving guy. We're putting that right this evening. So we're just going to sort of bounce off each other, play some tunes, have a little chat. All that stuff. Big shout out to DJ Ski. Back from his holidays. Definitely cheered him up a little bit. I saw, you know, he was... Don't get me wrong, he's a chipper guy at the best of times, but he had a little bit more today. Hopefully that was reflected in the music. Started the show with a brand new tune from Joe Armand Jones from Ezra Collective. His own stuff is really going in a little reggae direction, and that one featuring a singer from Nottingham, I think, called Liam Bailey, called Sorrow. And in the background, title track from the brand new Nabaya Garcia album. Hope you're alright. Are you alright, Ajaz? He looks alright. They're not on at the moment, but they will be. We'll be right back. Sheffield Live on a Sunday. I think that's coming through. Let's bring you up. No, let's try that now. That's working. Go on, speak. Speak, Ajaz.
Good evening, everybody.
How you doing? You all right?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
How come we haven't done this show before? Come on.
I know, I thought we might have. I remember once you asked me to come over and play five tunes together, like a little mix of
five tunes.
I know, and so I chose like five different versions of Take Five.
Oh yes, yes, yes. Oh yeah, I used to do the sort of five from thing. That was quite cool. Actually, I got some really interesting like takes from people. So I was wondering earlier when I was doing the sort of obligatory social media crap for this show. I was thinking when we first met, and I can pinpoint it. I think it was called Simunye, wasn't it, on London Road?
In the darkest crevices of Sharrow.
Was that where it was? Where was it? I'm trying to picture it, but was it London Road?
Yeah, it was London Road. It was just like on the corner of Sharrow Lane and London Road. It was a little cafe that used to be a little record shop as well. And then a little gallery in the basement where every Friday they used to have this thing called Deep Groove that one of our good mates,
Clez
used to put on. That was a really nice little place.
I just remember it being like, I played there a couple of times and I remember it finishing really early.
Right, yeah.
I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, memory and all that. But I remember it finishing really early, but just thinking it's a really, really good vibe. Anyway, it's long overdue, but it's good to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about, like, well, your musical heritage or how you got into certain types of music or how you ended up here without all the sort of, you know, we don't need to know, it's not going to be interrogation, but, you know, how did we meet?
I think that's where we first met, was at Simunye. I just moved to Sheffield.
That's right.
At that time.
You were in Leeds before, were you?
Kind of, yeah. It'd only been a couple of years since I'd moved to England. Came here for uni and then moved up to the north from London. I had no idea what the north would have for me. And then, I was living in Leeds. I used to, you know, come out to gigs down in Sheffield and then eventually decided preferred Sheffield to Leeds, so don't tell Luby.
That's controversial, isn't it? And what was it you preferred about it? Go on.
I just like some of the sorts of nights that were happening here. I felt it was a friendlier city overall compared to Leeds.
Yeah, I think Leeds, I don't know, I don't want to speak for Leeds because I've never lived there, but obviously I've DJed there quite a bit. But yeah, it feels more spread out. I don't know, maybe, you know, I don't know. Well, I don't know. I'll ask Luby. He won't listen back anyway. He'll just, yeah, he's a busy man. So music-wise, what was the sort of first stuff you were into? What was the kind of, when did you first start DJing? was that before you came to Sheffield, or was
quite a few years before. But I first started DJing with tapes while a student, so I couldn't afford to buy records or CDs.
So how did you do that then?
So I used to organize these parties at uni where we had like loads of kids from all over the world, different countries, all studying there, and I couldn't play any. I didn't have any CDs. Didn't own any records, so I just used to ask people to lend me their CDs about a couple of weeks before the party,
so you could actually listen to them, because that's quite important, isn't it? Yeah.
And then I'd record them onto two tapes, and then I'd
tapes. That's an effort. But not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. It's funny, isn't it, how some of the things which kind of like were born out of necessity have now become a kind of niche hipster thing. I've seen there's a few DJs out there, and I don't want to knock them for it, but there's a few DJs out there like playing from tapes or playing from reels or something like that, and it's all cool, it's something different. But it's funny that, you know, that was your entry into it.
I was like, yeah, 30
how was the mixing in those days?
I found my ways. It was more of feeling, wasn't it, than beat matching.
totally. And in terms of musical genres, like when you first sort of, I don't know, when you first played, what was your style? How's it changed over time? You know, what were you first playing?
Well, so I come from Pakistan, so Punjab, Lahore. I grew up in what's the capital of Punjab? It's where Bhangra comes from, and so a lot of music that I had that I brought with me when I came to uni was from there. So I used to drop a lot of Bhangra tracks back in the day. But then, you know, all these mates of mine at the uni came from all over the place, Brazil, Colombia, you know, Algeria, Lebanon, wherever. And so they'd all share their CDs with me. So I'd started playing, tunes from all of those different parts of the world, and got learning about the music from all of those places.
Yeah, that's quite interesting, isn't it? And wasn't really ever a Bhangra specialist, more kind of like, this is my thing, and then a little bit of a magpie approach to all the other stuff that's going on.
I used to dance in a Bhangra dance crew, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah. I think there's some videos somewhere.
Come on, we need those. I was going to put you to the test today, because I do remember... You used to be able to do quite a good moonwalk, didn't you? I don't know whether or not it was just sort of like, oh, someone's doing the moonwalk and that was great, but I remember there was quite a few of us at Phonetics, probably in around 2001 or something, and you pulled out a moonwalk, and I have to say, to Michael Jackson, it wasn't just, you know, some random moonwalk to like some 6-7 jazz type. Well, that would have been cool. So you were quite into your dancing.
Yeah, well, I remember at school in Pakistan, actually, back in the day, you know, breaking was quite a thing.
Yeah.
And this was like probably a decade after it was a thing in the States.
Yeah.
But like in, in the school cafeteria, canteen, you'd always have this...
Which is where the dance battles go down, isn't it?
Yeah. Have people competing on moonwalk, floor moves, body popping, all of that. So, yeah, I was into a lot of that
Incredible.
Stuff.
Incredible. Love that. You ever thought about combining the two, DJing and, I don't know, maybe...
Body popping?
Why not? Okay, so, so you came to Sheffield, and then you... When was... Disoriental born? Because
so soon after I moved to Sheffield, actually, so I was
you were playing... DJing with Head Charge and people like that, weren't you, and with Juju Club, so
so it was
shout
actually
out to Papa Al.
Papa Al actually
stalwart.
he's the one who gave me the break, actually. Kindly asked me to basically become resident DJ for Juju Club, so I used to play before the band or after the bands would finish. So Juju Club, for those who don't know, is a legendary live music night that used to bring acts from all over the world to Sheffield, ran for, I think, good 20, 30 years.
Yeah, you know, and still gets an outing occasionally now, doesn't it? So
Papa Al kindly asked me to come and play some tunes before and after the bands. And we found that after the bands used to finish, people were really up for a proper party.
Yeah.
And this is like, so in the late 90s, I was in London, you know, and there was a great kind of rave scene, particularly in the South Asian communities in like East London and stuff. So I was collecting a lot of music like that was really, really, you know, popular at the time in the rave scene, either drum and bass mixed with you know, Bhangra or Eastern classical, Indian classical music. So there were bands like State of Bengal. A record label called Outcast, which was putting out some really interesting music.
There's all that Talvin Singh, Nitin Sawhney kind of...
Yeah, Punjabi MC.
Punjabi MC, what a tune that was.
And a lot of like garage that's now becoming popular again. So I kind of started playing some of that stuff and people really getting into it. But then at the Juju Club, we'd have all sorts of bands coming. So I was, you know, pulling out music that was a bit more on the electronic side, but it was kind of, you know, create a, like a dance floor after the live sets. So there's a bit of a contrast from the acoustic to the, you know, more ravey stuff. And then Papa Al and Jamie started Head Charge. And then they asked me to come and play there. And that's where I really cut my teeth is, you know, Head Charge used to be this rave.
It
used to go on from 11 o'clock.
It was at the Wicker Arches, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Wicker Arches, brilliant place. It'd be on till 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
And over several years.
I'm sure I come and played there once with you.
You did, a few times.
I remember just like, you know, you could play a like mental Batacada track and people would just go for it.
Totally get into it. Yeah, that was one of the best things about it. So the big room used to be all techno, acid techno. But the second room where we used to play was always like a whole diversity of stuff.
The peaks and troughs. That's what you want. Do you know what I mean? That's, you know, you want that other room, don't you? You know.
Yeah.
And we're DJs for the other room.
Let's face it.
You know. Don't put us on in the main room, anybody. unless there's only one room. That was mental, but it was really good. Ironically, I don't know why this just popped into my head, but the first time I ever heard Papa Al DJ was when I was still living in London.
Yeah.
He came and played at this pub in Clapham.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, so someone introduced me to him. He probably won't remember. But I remember thinking, all right, he's a guy, Sheffield. I was about to move up to Sheffield at that point. So there you go. So, yeah. And then from there, you had that night in Bradford. Now, that was great, wasn't it? With Deepak.
That was a lovely little space called the Love Apple.
Yeah.
Which has,
is it still open? Is it still
no,
there?
It no. closed almost 10 years back, actually. Yeah. But it ran had a good innings, about 12, 15 years it was running. It was probably the only really alternative live music venue that wasn't, you know, it was a nice pub, a restaurant during part of the day. And then it had a live music area with, you know, for roughly about 200 people. It was just perfect. You know, you could have different vibes at different times. And the crowd that used to come there was really eclectic crowd of people. Because Bradford, as you know, is quite a diverse city. You've got students, you've got a big South Asian community, you've got a big West Indian community.
But it's not always, I don't know Bradford really well, but I've got the impression that's not always reflected in the nightlife there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
The nightlife at that time used to be very, very commercial.
Yeah.
And so the Love Apple really provided an alternative space. So, like, you'd have poetry readings on some days. You'd have, club nights like ours. You'd have loads of live gigs. So it was really quite a diverse environment and would attract quite a diverse crowd of people. One of the interesting things about Bradford is that the uni there has, I think, one of the only programs in the world called the Peace Studies Program.
Yeah, I wonder if that's still going.
It's still going, and it attracts some of the most interesting people. So that has a really
it's needed more than ever, let's face it. Totally. It's like, if ever there's a course whose time has come, that's what's needed. Now, you've always gone with the strap line of beats from a borderless world.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not living in a world that's anywhere
borderless.
remotely approaching. In fact, it's kind of fashionable now for politicians to outdo each other on who can put up bigger walls and stuff like that. Just tell us a little bit about how you see, how you see music as part of a wider view of the world, I guess.
Yeah, well, for me, I think some of the most interesting music in the world is music that is a result of, cross-fertilization. Jazz, for example, hip-hop, even drum and bass. And bass wouldn't exist if there was a large Indian community in the UK.
Yeah.
So I think some of the most exciting music around the world, gypsy music, coming from Rajasthan across the gypsy trail across North Africa and people ending up all over the world. Mm. Such a diversity of music just there. And then, I've always been fascinated by how people, listen and collaborate and bring elements of music that they've heard from other cultures into new contexts and how they, jam together, and I feel, in the past, borders were probably a lot more porous and there was a lot more intermingling of musical instruments and people, collaborating more so. Now maybe, now with the internet and whatnot, there's people are hearing a lot more music and sounds from all over the place. So I grew up on a diet of Bollywood music as a kid.
Yeah.
And Bollywood music in itself is not one genre. Mm. It actually, if you go through the ages, going back to the 50s and stuff, you'll hear elements of Afrobeat, elements of rock and roll, jazz, and in recent years, hip-hop, and all sorts in even just Bollywood music. So I was always fascinated by music, which is a result of, cross-fertilization. And so I wanted to bring a kind of music that doesn't, is not in one genre or in one kind of culture that, it crosses between cultures. So even like, playing tunes, I always love to find ways in which different, music, mixes into another, like Bhangra into Batucada, for example. Some of those rhythms and percussions, can work really, really well. So I've always been on that kind of, journey. And so that's what I wanted to do with Disoriental.
And still running all these years later, obviously, as a quarterly.
Yeah.
Quarterly.
Yeah, alongside yourself.
And a few other sort of one-off promotions and stuff like that. So, good stuff. Ajaz, do you want to play some tunes?
Yeah, so I thought I'd maybe start with some jazz because I know that you're into your jazz. So.
I'm a jazz boy,
So I'm going to actually play Take 5 and a different version of Take 5.
Brilliant. Excellent.
La de la fond,
Yeah, that's one of my favourite artists at the moment, Florence Aduni. Check her out on Philophon Records. She's had a couple of releases. She's got an album forthcoming. But yeah, it's one of those ones that, you know, whenever you see a release by a certain artist that you don't wait, you check it straight away. And she's one of those. Florence Aduni with Foyelli. You in tune to Sheffield Live. Sounds like this on a Sunday. You've got a special guest, Disorientalist, or to me, just simply Ajaz. Special shout out to Darren tuning in, Ruth, and I've got to give a mention to Luby as well, over in Leeds, because he's messaged me to say he is listening. He never listens to the show. Great gig last week with Orchestra Mamba Internationale. What's this one, Ajaz? What's this one?
Speaking of beats from Borderless World, this is a collaboration between Malian and Cuban musicians. So actually, this tune is literally called Mali Cuba.
There you go, clues in the title. Thank you.
shout out to Natty, Oli, Hernando and Gladys tuning in. Ajaz is not going to give back them crisps. They're gone.
De la unión de la tierra y el agua, dueño de la magia, dueño de la che para curar, dueño de los miedos que sana el indio, sabio que se libró de la servidumbre en Obara, espíritu del monte, Iba Osai, Iba Oniewe, Ache Osai. Espíritu de la naturaleza, Maferefungaña, espíritu del tambor, grande entre los grandes, Maferefung Changó, Oricha Rey, Cabo, Cabio Si Changó. El hueco asosai, Lupe para Lupe, Obao Soki Ciego, Ayala Yiki, Cao, 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 Cao,
MC right now, I'm on the airwaves, 93.2 Sheffield Live.